Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Weekly Awakening Podcast. It is your host, Colleen, and on today's episode, we got a lot of good stuff. We have Mars moving into Capricorn, where it's extra happy. It's exalted. It's extra happy. A little bit more on Venus retrograde, which is coming to an end, but Venus is not in the clear yet. And Mercury moved back. Mercury's retrograding, as we know, and it moved back into Capricorn. And on the 28th, it conjoins Pluto, powerful Pluto. So again, we have a little bit of a swirly, trilly retrograde day. We still have a few more days left where Venus and Mercury are both retrograding at the same time. So it's definitely been a really interesting kickoff to Mercury retrograde. I just want to remind everyone to follow me on social media, Cosmic Colleen, one C in the middle, Cosmic Colleen _ on Twitter, though, and I post a lot of daily astrology transits. I just kind of throw that out there. Thank you, everyone, for your support. And if you're wondering how you can support me, just send this episode to someone you know. Subscribe, rate, review, something like that can really help out my channel and get these astro reports out there. So yeah, let's get this started. First of all, my son Abram turned 8 years old this past weekend. I can't believe it. Honestly, I cry all the time. I think I said this on here, how sad I get and happy how fast he's going. Parenting is the hardest job you will ever do. I'm telling you, if you don't have kids yet, no one warned me how hard it is as they get older. It's physically demanding and hard when they're young and you have no time, but now it's like a whole new level of emotional hard and trying to figure that out, how to understand them, how to teach them, I don't know. It's just very, very confusing. Nevertheless, here we are. We made it 8 years. I cannot believe it. I was like, what is this hospital doing letting me leave with this baby 8 years ago? What? Here we are 8 years ago. And we grew so much together. I grew up so much through him. I had gotten clean 10 years ago and pretty much got pregnant after a year clean. And so I'd started my life with him. I don't know what would it be like without him, but we had a fun party. We went out to Arnold's fun house outside of Philadelphia and just lived and enjoyed. I definitely hit that up. They have go-karts. What else they have? Laser tag, which was like the favorite of everyone. Go-karts were definitely pretty fun. Arcade, lots of fun stuff to do if you're in the Philadelphia area. Hit up Arnold's fun house. Okay, so what do we want to talk about? I feel like I want to talk about Venus retrograde first. Speaking of children, it can be tough with Venus retrograde. Venus rules our kids. It represents our children and our birth chart. And so when it retrogrades, depending on what is happening in their chart, things can be a little wonky, a little upside down. I think the big theme that really came to me, and I'm like, Venus has been trapped in Saturn's sign of Capricorn since November. It has definitely been intense. It's been a long time for Venus to be there, to be restricted, to be held back. You know, it's not the worst place for Venus. However, Venus's nature is warm and romantic and kind of goes past boundaries. And we have Saturn, which is cold, restrictive, and sets up boundaries. So there was a lot of taken away. And then we have retrograde, which means our normal Venus stuff was not feeling very Venus-y. And it's in there with Pluto. And there's just been definitely Venus has had it rough. And it's like, oh, I can just feel it. Doesn't everyone feel this general sense of our joy and pleasures being restricted? Something that came to me that's been happening a lot, I think, with Mercury retrograde the last 2 weeks. I think Venus is making us all, like, all of a sudden, the joys and the pleasures and the things that come easy to us that are a distraction, a void, or just bring us happiness for whatever reason, seem to not be working. You know, I've in myself and other people that say you get your hair colored. Normally that makes you feel good. It takes you out of yourself for a little bit. I'm seeing that that's not happening for clients, or working out or going out for walks or sex or food, whatever it is. All of a sudden, these things that we use to give ourselves pleasure and joy seem like they don't work anymore. What is happening? And all of a sudden we're left in this joy and suffering, or the feelings of suffering that we usually create. And I was thinking and pondering, what is the purpose, right? Why do we need to feel these things? Why do sometimes the planets align and something happens so we can feel the opposite of what we've been feeling, right? That is one thing we know. There is a pendulum in life. There is two sides to everything, and the pendulum always shifts back and forth to create balance. And that goes that goes with happiness, and that goes with sadness, that goes with pleasure, that goes with joy, that goes with sorrow. Everything has to sway back and forth. There's an old saying in NA that I used to attend. And when someone would be like on a pink cloud and they'd be like, oh my God, everything is so amazing, blah, blah, blah. Everything is great. Some old timer would always say, well, just wait till it's not. Or then, you know, soon it'll be your turn for it not to be good. And that was always the case. However, there were most of the time it's never, never as bad as our worst times, right? I share about this a lot. We often have a few really horrible years, and if we're lucky, it's only a few. When we look back at the world, it was only a few really, really bad years over a long lifetime. And we have some really amazing years, but most of the years, right, 85% of the time, it's a balance between both good and bad. And sometimes we're just meant to feel. Sometimes we have to accept and understand that we're going to have bouts of depression, and we're going to have bouts of happiness. Oftentimes when we're really happy, we don't, maybe subconsciously, we do as a chemical for chasing the happiness, but oftentimes we're not questioning it. We're not wondering why we're happy. Sometimes, again, we are, especially if it comes out of nowhere, but oftentimes we're just in the happiness and we're just living and we're in the moment and we're just accepting it and just riding on this happiness wave, but we're not questioning why maybe we're just being happy and there's no other reason why. However, when we feel other things that we don't like to feel, sorrow, pain, we question it and we want to put labels on it. We want to say, oh my God, I'm depressed. Meanwhile, maybe you're supposed to not feel happy 24 hours a day. Maybe you're supposed to go through a month or two of feeling sadness and sorrow. Maybe just to understand our joy more, maybe to appreciate our joy more, maybe just because that is the balance of life and there's no other reason, that we just have to accept it. And it's easier when something bad happens or we feel a certain way as to have a explanation. That's why, or I've been, you know, just with, you know, titles or you know, I have ADHD, so that's why, you know, explanations, I know for me, explanations are comfortable. Explanations make sense to my mind. Explanations can make sense to hard times when sometimes we're just supposed to feel miserable. Sometimes we're just supposed to feel shitty. And everything goes in waves and cycles. Again, I say that with the planets. We know that some days I feel like the worst. I want to hide under my bed and never come out. Where the next day something shifts and happens and I'm like, hey, world, I'm showing up. Here comes the queen bee. And, you know, we can predict the planets and that gives us a better understanding. That kind of armors are up. You know, armors us up is what I mean to say. But sometimes it's just accepting that feeling and sometimes our suffering, right? It's our own creation. Sometimes it's outside stuff, but other times it's just imprisonment of our mind, imprisonment of how we choose to think, how we choose to look at something hard. The pain, the body does get addicted to negative feelings, and we get addicted to being the ones that complaining, being the victim, whatever it is. Our body can literally get addicted, and when we try to do something new, it changes. It gives us panic attacks. It's like no, come back down here, don't go elsewhere. So right now, I think we can blame Venus on some of our miserableness. Is Venus the planet of our joy, our happiness, love, pleasure, friendship, all the good things in life, is feeling kind of restricted and a little bit depressed in Saturn's sign of Capricorn since November, where again, it's been retrograding, where it has been with Pluto a bunch of times. Now, Mercury just moved back into Capricorn retrograding, so it has not been easy. We've had to reevaluate and rethink and relook and revisit. We've had to sit there and say, nothing seems to be, I don't know why, but there's an importance in sitting in life and when nothing seems to be going right. There's an importance to that, just like there's an importance in sitting in life when everything goes right. So Venus is not feeling the highest self right now. And I think everyone I know is feeling it in one way or another. Everyone's feeling depressed, sad, whatever is happening. But Venus retrograde, if you're born with a natal Venus retrograde, I am. So, and depending on where it's aspected, it's not advised to do something, change your aesthetic in any major way. However, I'm finding myself and other people, it's actually a great time if you're born with a natal Venus retrograde, as well as we, you know, Venus rules kind of our creativity, and you might be feeling very non-creative right now as well. But if you're born with a natal Venus retrograde, you actually might get all of your creation during these times. So that's kind of the shift. But the general people, you know, don't feel too good right now about about the things we fill the voids with. So that's happening. That ends on January 29th, which is next Monday, I think, next Sunday. And then March 6th, Venus moves into Aquarius. We're still in Saturn's sign. Yeah, we're in, you know, it's Uranus, so it's a little bit more shocking, but we're still in that cold kind of Saturn-ruled sign. So now I said it's not out of the woodwork until it enters Pisces, right? Pisces, it's exalted in Pisces, but that is not until April 5th. And the reason why Venus is not out there is Venus is sort of trapped in Saturn's sign again of Aquarius, but it is an air sign, so it feels a little bit freer. And it's going to be in between two malefic planets for most of March. So it's going to be stationing direct, moving forward now. So some things will kind of make sense and some things will feel not so restricted and stuck with. However, it's going to be between Pluto and Saturn for, again, most of March, pretty much all of March, pretty much the end of February into March. It's going to be stuck between those two planets and the planet Pluto, where it's been dancing with this whole retrograde, bringing endings and death and sort of like the underworld has been showing. And Saturn, the same planet that that's been restricting and holding Venus back or making Venus be accountable. So come April, we're going to see our joys coming back, pleasures. Things are going to be happy. It's also aligning with springtime and things are new and beautiful. So there is hope with Venus, but right now just understand, especially coupled with Mercury retrograde, that it's been a little bit tough. One of my clients was telling me last week, and I pray for the person's mother. My client was working a wedding, their caterer, and they were like, yeah, so on Saturday, talk about a Mercury retrograde, Venus retrograde, the same time wedding. The mother of the bride had a heart attack, like as soon as the wedding had started. I think right after they said, I do, the mother had a heart attack. So the husband and wife left to the hospital with the mom and never returned, but everyone else still had a party. Again, I pray for whoever that was. I have no idea who they were. My client was part of the caterer, but it's like the Mercury retrograde, right? For the bride and groom. And I guess the mother's alive, okay. But all of a sudden, they couldn't finish their wedding. They couldn't be there. They couldn't enjoy the party, right? Venus. And they had to leave, yet the party still kind of went on with no one else there at the wedding. I mean, with the guests, they weren't there. I thought that was very interesting. And also, Mercury retrograde, it was the first weekend, this past weekend, really, and this last weekend, and I was at the doctor, and the nurse was telling me how she tried to go to Florida, which this happened to me last year, if you remember, at Mercury retrograde. It's a good time to relax and vacation. However, my experience and others is the first opening weekend of Mercury retrograde, vacationing doesn't seem to go that great. So she had layovers, which again, Mercury retrograde, you have to watch with travel. She had layovers, almost missed her flight, something else happened, and then the weather sucked. It rained the entire time. It was like they were having a cold streak in Florida. And that was very familiar. Last year, I got a hotel room for my kids on Memorial Day weekend, and it was Mercury retrograde. Literally, if you remember the Philadelphia up here in the northeast part of the United States, I think it was 50 degrees and raining that whole weekend. I was like, Mercury retrograde. So Mercury conjoins Pluto, though, on January 28th and February 22nd. When Mercury conjoins Pluto, it might be a good time to end things. That's really what comes to my mind. And again, Mercury does not conjoin Pluto again until February 10th of 2023. So pretty much a year from now, it will conjoin. But this is a good time to end something with power, end something with dynamic, end something that has maybe had a bad power dynamic with you in your relationships, at work, something that has been not fair, friendships. This has the power to, you know, help give you the power to say, stand up for yourself and say, hey, yeah, you're not going to talk to me like that. I'm not going to do that anymore. And see ya. Cut off, goodbye, end things for good. This also has the power, again, with Mercury retrograde, communication can also go wrong. very wrong. So this transit on the 28th and then on February 11th has the potential to end friendships, have some out of the blue fight with someone that just ends the friendship. You guys say things you want too far. It shouldn't have family, whatever it is. It can have that, but it's really a lot of power with our words. Power and words. Think that. Power. Words equal power. I'm writing that down. Words equal power for Mercury when Mercury conjoins Pluto. And in Capricorn, I think there with that, we see karma. We see things happening that shouldn't have happened and we shouldn't have said something. So there might be an automatic, like, and this is Mars in Capricorn is there. There might be added aggression. You may just say something that you cannot take back. Let me say that again. You may say something that you cannot take back. So if you're fighting, if you're heated, if you're in one of those moods where you know you're just about to snap on someone and say all the mean things, don't. Take a step back. Let that moment pass. Let that hour pass. Relax, because this might happen. This is going to bring some consequences to something that you cannot take back. However, if you need the power, if you've been really needing this jolt of power to believe in yourself and believe in the words and be able to just end a relationship, something, this is definitely going to be on your side for that. Mars moved into Capricorn. So right away, I was with a couple Capricorn risings and they were all like, yeah, I started working out today. Even on Monday when it happened, when it moved in there, I was like, I was ready to take charge. I was ready to go to work and relax. So when Mars moved into Capricorn, I talked to two Capricorn risings. They were like all of a sudden ready to get their shit together with their body, with their mind, with their, you know, their day-to-day life. They're like, we're getting this shit together. Look at what whole sign house does Capricorn rule in your chart. You're going to be all of a sudden ready to take charge, ready to take action, ready to move something, to be motivated. You know, I said Mars is exalted in Capricorn. It's happy. You almost gave the warrior his backup army. Oh, I like that. Sometimes I say these things. I'm like, let me write that down for Twitter. His backup army. And all of a sudden, he's strong. He is like, he's ready to take over the world. And so you might feel ready to just get some shit done in your life. You feel ready to get some, look, I'm still writing this down. I can't do two things at once. All of a sudden, you're going to feel motivated. You're going to be going. You're going to be like, yes, I'm going to take control of this. I'm going to discipline this. And I'm going to change some of my actions or take action, I should say, depending on where that is. But Mars is a trigger starter. It's an activator. Mars activates something in your house, depending. And it's going to activate Saturn-ruled things right now. So it's going to activate family karma. It's going to activate drive. It's going to activate your work, your career, anything like that. You're going to feel that. So where was I? I'm reading that. Clearly, Mercury retrograde is not on my side today. I wrote something else. See, I got so lost with my warrior's backup. So Mars is going to be exalted. It's going to be happy. It's going to be creating, but it's working at a very strong pace right now. Mars is very strong. And whatever you have been putting off in life, whatever you have been procrastinating, especially for whatever house Capricorn rules, all of a sudden, you're going to get it done. You're going to be excelling at it and you're going to get shit done. That I can tell you. For me, I already feel like with Mars moved into my fifth house with children, they always have energy, so I can't compare that. Children, romance, sex, creativity, your pleasures, your joys, and my creative project, which is this, I'm back into the cycle of like getting ready to take charge of it and getting ready to keep it moving. So, oh, now I know what I want to share. Leo risings, my baby daddy, Matt, my kid's father. I saw him Friday. He had his Jupiter in his sixth house of health, and that is what also health, accident, illnesses more, not just, you know, the first house is more health, but it's more illnesses, accidents, unfortunate things that happen. And he has Jupiter and Saturn in his natal sixth house. And I saw him Saturday at the kid's birthday party, and he had just had some dental work, a root canal and something else. And then I saw him Sunday at his parents' house for the party. I'm looking at him like, man, your cheek is pretty swollen. He's like, no, it's just from the other day, some dental work. I'm like, it didn't look like that yesterday. And you had the dental work days before that. And yesterday he FaceTimed the kids and they were like, holy crap. And I looked and his whole bottom left, as soon as Mars moved into his house of health, right, it accelerated, especially having a not so happy natal Jupiter in there. All of a sudden, it was like as soon as Mars moved into his house of health, his whole mouth, it was literally the size of a baseball, swelled on his cheek. I said, you got to get that checked out. And he did. It's going down. It was whatever, an infection, something happened with the tooth or whatever. But just like that. So Leo risings, or just in general, when something moves into the sixth house, it's a house of hard work, endurance, almost putting in all the work with so much sacrifice, self-sacrifice, as well as our illnesses and our sicknesses come from that house. It's the house of bad luck. It's not necessarily the best house, but good things come from it, from working hard. So you could see some, when people have transits to that house, they can have some health issues. Now it's a well-placed Mars, so it just turned out to be an infection, antibiotic. They got to do, you know, take out the root canal or whatever, fix that. But luckily it wasn't some sort of blood disease or something like that. Again, a well-placed Saturn made it an easy fix, but it was just interesting how it activated his health, his illness right then and there, and just grew. And especially it hit his natal Jupiter, that it, and it's depressed in Capricorn, Jupiter is, but this is natal Jupiter, and it just grew. The infection just like took over his face. So that was kind of crazy, but baby daddy is going to be okay. Okay, thank God. I hope everyone followed this episode well. Again, you hear me 3 times a year. Mercury retrograde is going to be happening 4 times a year this year. Every time I do an episode during that, I kind of feel like I'm all over the place, but when am I not all over the place? Anyway, the weekly awakening for this week is to just be in your pain, be in your sorrow, allow it and accept it. And if you're in a constant state of sorrow all the time, you're the common denominator. It's you. So maybe then take a look and figure out why. Is it your thinking? Is it a serious chemical imbalance? Because there's definitely is a lot of chemical imbalances and mental illness, and I do not discount that at all. But I've also met a lot of people, myself included, when it was a mindset I couldn't get out of. It was a trained subconscious, you know, patterns in life. It was the ways I was my own worst mental enemy. I was my own self-undoing just by my thinking that I had gained over time. And you can't understand that type of thinking until you have the awareness as to why you do that. So just know that if you're just feeling unhappy in a couple weeks, that's life. Life is hard, and we're not meant to always be happy, and you might just be happy. I mean, you might just be miserable for a little bit, and that will shake up, and you will move to the other side, and it will cycle through. If it's you think everyone outside of you is causing the problem, then you're 100% the problem, because oftentimes it's so much easier for us to deflect onto others instead of looking at our own shit. And if you don't want to look at your own shit, that is because you're scared. You're scared of feeling something. We're scared of the reactions we physically have in our body. That's why we don't like to feel certain things. Why we especially we don't like to feel the negative things, because we have a physical reaction that we have a hard time feeling. But just know that physical reaction will not kill you. It will not kill you. Tell yourself that. All right. I love you all. Thank you. Remember, follow me, Cosmic Colleen, The Weekly Awakening, Colleen Dixon on Facebook. That's just about it. Send this episode to someone. Subscribe to it. Give it a 5-star review if that's how you feel. Those are the best ways to support me right now. Thank you, everyone. I hope you have a beautiful day, and I love you all. Goodbye.